Okay. We are... we just got
kind
back...
Kind of speechless.
Yeah, we just got back from a drive. We're at Mambo. It's our second night here. It's our last night in Botswana. We're going home tomorrow.
It's our last night in Africa for this trip.
Yeah. You might hear some crickets in the background here. We just have to record... We just got back from drive 5 minutes ago.
And we have to get this down because it was... a genuinely unbelievable once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Utterly ridiculous. Yesterday, we arrived at Mambo, and we went out with our guide, Ollie. And Ollie's fantastic. He's been guiding in the Delta for 21 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Like, around 20 years.
Yeah.
We went and found a young male leopard of about 2.5 years of age. Around there.
I think 2 years, 2 months.
Yeah. We found this male. It was very hot, but we stayed with him the whole afternoon and we waited until he got active, right?
Yeah. And it was really lucky because we arrived there and he wasn't like a flat cat, head on the ground. He was actually up, kind of looking around now and then, yawning, looking around. And so, like, there was something to watch kind of the whole time. And then Ollie explained that if you kind of looked 20 meters away, there is a warthog burrow there that he probably saw, this leopard, probably saw a warthog go into earlier, and now he's just kind of waiting to see if this warthog ever comes out.
Yeah, so you would have maybe, if you follow our like social media stuff, you would have maybe seen a video or a photo of this leopard already. When he got active, he started to like poke his head down into warthog burrows. And it was just really funny. Some of the warthogs were already in their burrows, and he was kind of going down to see, like, what kind of warthog is this? Is this, like, a young warthog that I can...
Yeah, like a baby.
Yeah, a baby that I can get out of the hole or out of the burrow, or is it an adult that is a bit trickier? I remember that the one thing that stands out for me was that he went, and these burrows are often in termite mounds because the soil in termite mounds is a little bit looser, and it's easier to dig a burrow, basically. And also because, there's loads of reasons, also because aardvarks like to dig burrows into termite mounds because then there's ready access to food.
We digress, sorry.
Yeah, so he was sticking his head and his whole entire upper body down these warthog burrows, and the one this warthog that was down there, obviously, in one swift movement, shoveled like a huge
bucket worth of sand
out, yeah. And there was just this explosion of sand around this leopard.
And kind of thought it was the warthog. I was like, did I miss it? Where'd the warthog go?
Right,
it was
yeah.
that large of a quantity
yeah.
of dark sand.
I just wasn't sure exactly what was going to happen.
Yeah.
And then another burrow... So
well,
he
stuck his head back down the hole and started hissing
yeah.
at the warthog. Like, he was like pissed that
yeah.
this warthog had shoveled all this sand into his face.
Exactly. And then he went to the other side of the burrow and tried the other entrance. Also no luck. And then he went kind of... 50 meters away,
mm-hmm.
there's so many warthogs here, it's unbelievable,
yeah.
like they're everywhere. Went to the next burrow, and he just kind of poked his head around to the side of the burrow, and I could actually see a big male warthog's head
yeah.
jutting out of this burrow, and I thought, if he goes for this, that's going to be like suicide
yeah.
almost. But he obviously knew that there was a big warthog there. I'm not totally sure if leopards are able to smell from a warthog scent how old it is, but I'm assuming he probably knew. Maybe he had seen it.
Yeah.
He just saw a corner of it or something.
Well, but then he went into the tree.
Yeah, right. He went into the tree.
And is looking. So now the sun is setting. So I'm not taking photos now. I'm just watching this happen. And this leopard has climbed into the tree. We now have his profile with the setting sun looking down on this adult warthog whose head is poking out of the burrow. And I'm just thinking to myself, I was like, is he going to try and jump out of this tree
yeah.
onto this warthog? Like, how is that gonna work?
I think he was definitely weighing up a bunch of options.
He was super clever, and that was what was so cool about spending so much time with him, was at each like juncture he kind of weighed his options and was like, nope, too risky,
yeah.
next warthog bro, nope, too risky, next. And just we got to watch him do this with like five different warthogs until it got dark, and then
yeah
we
well it was
home.
Yeah, it was almost dark already at this
yeah.
point. But I would say I've watched leopards of a similar age
yeah.
doing much riskier stuff.
He was
and
so clever.
He, like, I guess some of it was a little bit risky, but at the same time, he definitely didn't go for something when he knew it was too big for him to tackle. A big male warthog, by the way, it weighs quite a bit more than a young male leopard, even probably
yeah.
a little bit more than an adult male leopard. This is an incredible sighting that we had.
We were like, oh my god, this is unbelievable. Like yeah, heaven.
We like already thought, you know, this is what everybody talk, why everyone talks about Mambo so much, not just because it's like the nicest lodge in Africa, but also because it's just the sightings are incredible here. Mambo magic, as everyone says.
Yeah.
And
as we say, Mambo jumbo.
Mambo jumbo. We preface the next sighting with the story that we just told, because the next sighting is involving the same cat. And this afternoon,
this morning, at the end of our morning.
Yeah, I suppose
we got our COVID test done because we're flying tomorrow.
Mm.
And we were coming back from the airstrip where we did our COVID test. And Ollie had said, oh, the guides, some other guides have seen this, the leopard, what do they call them?
Thunders. Yeah.
So they've seen this leopard, that male leopard again, and he's with a female. But we're not really sure what's going on because she also looks quite young and he's quite young to be mating. So do you guys want to go? We were like, yeah, for sure. Let's go.
Yeah.
So we went and they were out in the open, but as soon as we got there, she went into a thicket.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, okay, clearly she's stressed. We don't want to stress her out. So we just stayed with him for a little bit, and then she stayed in the thicket and didn't come out. So we were like, okay, let's leave her. So we went back to the lodge.
Yeah.
Had a little siesta. Yeah. And then for afternoon drive, Ollie said during like the middle of the day, someone actually saw them mating. So are you guys keen to kind of go straight there?
Yeah.
The craziest drive ever.
Yeah, and also the world's shortest drive distance-wise, because all of this is happening within earshot and eyeshot of the lodge.
Yeah.
So we drove for, I'm going to say, less than 3 minutes to get to this spot where these leopards had been, and Ollie very quickly picked up on them. I mean, he saw them in the shade of a tree, and this is just where years of experience come into play. I wouldn't have spotted them
never
if they were right in front of me, and they were just in the shade of this bush, and the two leopards, this female that we had thought was quite young, that was quite skittish, we approached, and she was fine, she was still relaxed, and then another vehicle approached like very shortly after us, and then she actually ran into this bush and hid in this bush.
Basically the exact same behavior as the morning.
Yeah, exactly, the exact same behavior as the morning. It was really hot, but we decided to stay put. We just decided, okay, we're gonna sit this one out.
Well, also,
we're gonna sit this one in.
When we got there, the male was breathing really heavily, and as we were there kind of over the next 10 minutes, I noticed that his breathing had slowed way down. And so I was saying to Jomi, I was like, I bet that they mated just before we got here. That's why he was breathing so fast. And I bet they're going to mate again soon. And I asked Ollie, you know, based on, you know, how long they've been together now, how long do you think, like time-wise, between each time that they mate? Because they mate multiple times throughout the day.
Yeah.
And he said, first day mating, it'll be like every 8-10 minutes. And so we were
very
like, okay,
regularly.
Great.
Yeah.
And we're going to sit here and we're just going to watch and see what happens.
Right. I guess we were a bit nervous that because there were three vehicles in the siding a lot of the time and the female was hiding in the bush, I was just a bit nervous that she wasn't going to come out because she was skittish. But Ollie was kind of, you know, he said, no, let's wait and let's see. And she did come out and they did mate right in front of us. And they mated not just once, but like, I'm going to say 10 times in the space of an hour.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Really incredibly regularly. Then the temperatures started to drop a little bit. What was incredible about that was that we were able to see the behavior of how she enticed the male to mate with her, how he was the one who probably wasn't quite that keen. I think he's aware of the fact that he's not a dominant male leopard and he's probably a little bit nervous. And, you know, it's his first time,
maybe
he's a bit nervous about that too.
Yeah, Ollie said that they know this leopard. He was born very close to the lodge. He's lived here his whole life. There is a dominant male in the area that is bigger and more dominant than him. I mean, he's only two. And this is very likely his first time mating. And there were definitely some bumps in the road.
He is also of the same family tree as Lachadima, which means lightning. And she is probably the most famous leopard in the Okavango Delta.
Yeah,
she lived to a very old age, and especially in this area, yeah. And there is a documentary that was made about her, which will, I can't remember the name now, but we'll write the name in the description, so you can watch it as well. Anyway, so these leopards mate a bunch of times, and we get great photos. Hadley gets some lovely shots. I hope that we can show one or two of them to you guys. Then the temperatures drop, and although these leopards are probably exhausted, they start moving a little bit. And I think the reason that they're moving is either because maybe they're hungry.
And the, oh no, no, you're right.
Or
sorry,
because continue. They're or because they're thirsty, right?
Right.
They leopards would normally spend a huge quantity of the day sleeping and really sleeping
deeply,
and they wouldn't be doing that really when they're mating. So they're probably quite tired. They need some energy. They definitely need to hydrate.
It's so hot. I mean, it's like Fahrenheit. It's 95 plus.
Yeah, it was very, very warm. We get these amazing shots of them on the move, and now the light is getting a lot softer, and they're moving into a really open area. Some jackals calling in the background here. And they then start to move towards this waterhole that's really close to the Mambo staff village. And
like 50 meters.
Yeah, exactly.
So, we're so close. You can hear the staff village in the sighting.
Yeah, a couple of hundred meters, let's say. And they start drinking, and they're drinking, the male is drinking in this afternoon light, and it's just ridiculous because you can just, he's just like covered in this golden light. And leopards, as you know, are some of my favorite animals, probably my favorite animal, definitely my favorite animal after tonight. And they're
Well, and also they're drinking, and in the background is this beautiful baobab tree that they had been at when we first arrived. They had been close to this baobab. So now we've got like the beautiful light on the leopard.
Yeah.
And he's drinking, and there's this baobab in the background, and we're like, oh my God, this is just like, with, and the sun is kind of starting to set. So these big white clouds have got like a tinge of pink, and we're just like, this is just like Africa at its finest in a photograph. Like, unbelievable.
Yeah. Exactly.
And then two hyenas arrive.
Young hyenas. And hyenas are, when they see a leopard, they really follow a leopard because they want to know if it's feeding on something. And so these hyenas kind of spook these leopards, and these leopards move into a little bit of a thicker bush area. We can still see them quite nicely, but the leopards stay put, and the hyenas go sniffing around where the leopards were sitting before that.
All where they had been to just see if there was food anywhere.
Yeah, exactly. And then the leopards are, what the male leopard actually goes and sits up on this like fallen over tree. And now the female is like, she's really in heat. She's really, really in heat.
Yeah, explain how that works a little bit.
So he's like, he's jumped, what do you mean?
Like, so he's kind of less of the initiator, basically. This male is just kind of there. He's like trying to sleep intermittently, and the female will get up, and she'll kind of basically wave her butt and tail in his face and prompt him to get up, and she'll kind of circle back and bump him and make him get up, and then
absolutely, like,
once he gets up, she'll lie down, and then they mate. But so
peacocking of the highest order, and then just like
flaunting her stuff,
so in his face.
He's now gotten up onto this little fallen over tree, and he's like maybe a meter off the ground. So she's like, okay, well, like, how's this gonna work? Get down.
And the hyenas at this point had moved off because they'd realized, oh, there's actually nothing really going on here. The leopards haven't been feeding on anything. Let's carry on. Then this female tries to jump up onto this fallen over tree and she does, and she coaxes him into mating. But
this fallen over tree.
Yeah, the positioning is all wrong, and in general, this male, he's not necessarily the best at mating. He kind of misses his target regularly.
Yeah.
But they're on this
eloquently
log.
Put.
They're on this log area, maybe 5 minutes or so, 10 minutes, and then the hyenas come back. They don't hassle the leopards anymore, but I get the feeling that the leopards are still a little bit like concerned that there's hyena in the area, and they just want to be left in peace. The male is exhausted. Then these leopards walk straight towards this baobab tree, and we don't expect them to go into the baobab. And this isn't a small baobab. This is a big tree. It's a tree that's easily 100 feet high, and the circumference of the trunk, I would say, is close to, I'm going to say, like 60 feet. So it's an enormously fat tree.
And baobabs have very, very smooth bark. So it's not easy for a cat to climb into. It's super slippery.
But Ollie had told us the day before that this tree had been struck by lightning. Ironic, right? Because
Thunder.
The grandmother of the leopard is called Lightning. And so half of the tree, not half of it, but like a small section of the tree...
Had
collapsed, Now, this tree is still absolutely enormous. But anyway, these leopards walk straight towards, and they run and jump and climb into this tree. And seeing a leopard climbing is special in general, yeah. because just seeing how unbelievably athletic they are, how good their balance is something else. Mm-hmm. But I'm emotional thinking about it even.
Yeah.
They both of them climb into the tree, and both of them then go and sit on one of the biggest, thickest branches on the tree horizontally, and the sun is now like set,
fully
just set, and you can just see the silhouettes of them, and we're like trying to take photos and videos. It's not really doing the sighting any justice anymore because it's the light is so low. You just end up watching, and then we think, okay, well, they're gonna relax here now, that's what they're gonna do. But there was more.
Of course. So then we're kind of watching them. They're on the same horizontal branch, but kind of at different forks. And the female gets up and goes back to him. And they're probably 35 feet off the ground. Yeah. They're high up.
Yeah, they're high up.
We're like, there's no way they're going to mate in this tree. There's no way they're going to fall. No. Not them. So she's, again, like, strutting her stuff in his face, lies down on this branch, and they mate. Again, up in this tree, as the sun is setting, in this baobab. And Jomi and I are just sitting there. I think we were the only people there at that point as well. We were. And we're just like, what is happening?
What's happening?
They mate. They get up. And they move back towards kind of the base trunk of the tree.
Yeah.
And then...
I just want to also say that a baobab is very synonymous with Botswana.
Mm.
Because you get it in all of Botswana. Maybe apart from the like driest parts of the central Kalahari and the driest parts of like not in the Makgadikgadi pants, but anyway, you get it all over Botswana.
Well, it's very synonymous with the Delta.
Yeah, exactly. So it's just like these iconic species, and I couldn't believe it. Ollie, when I started to see a reaction from Ollie, like, oh, this is
turning. He's picking up his phone and now he's taking pictures and he's taking video.
Yeah, this is a guy who just shows, he's what's called an exploration guide for wilderness safari. So he's one of their absolute top guides that moves through the different camps and guides guests through these camps. And he's been able to kind of guide us through Mambo and tell us so much, not just about Mambo, but just about wilderness safaris in general and about the different parts of Botswana and why you go here and when you go there. And it's just been incredible. So to see a reaction out of him, a guy who's now been at Mambo for the best part of 7 years, and I'm sure he sees stuff every day, but he started to say, this is a great sighting. And you know, a very composed guy, but was also showing some excitement. I thought these leopards then, like Hadley says, they go to not to the base of the tree, but to the main part of the trunk. And when you see a photo of this baobab, you'll understand what we mean. We're driving around to see where they are. And Ollie and I think are both looking at the base because we thought they're heading down. But Hadley spots these two leopards still in the tree, and they're trying to mate
again.
And they were mating so regularly. It was incredible. Like so regularly. And
like
we know
every 5 to 8 minutes.
We know it, and we know it's the first day because we'd observed the male the day before, so we know exactly that this is the very first day that they're mating.
Yeah.
And then, and I will never forget this as long as I live. I promise, I will never forget this. The one leopard, I can't remember if it was
the male,
sat and he perched on this bit of the tree that had been struck by lightning, and we were now facing where the sun had set, so there was a bit of light on the horizon, and we could just see the silhouette of this leopard on this baobab tree, and it just blew my mind.
And he's just sitting there. He's perfectly seated upright. He's like occasionally grooming his paw, his tail, occasionally flicks and joins the silhouette, and there's no words. It was insane. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it was unbelievable. You couldn't think of a sighting and conjure up a sighting in your head and then say, like, it's from my wildest dreams.
Yeah.
I was like taking a video of this silhouette of this leopard on this baobab, and I just had actual tears streaming down my face, and I was trying to compose myself.
A video of you when you turn to me and you say, I have tears streaming down my face.
But I started breathing really heavily. This male leopard, he's in this position for, I'm going to say, a good minute or 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It feels like eternity. And then he jumps down, or he kind of scrambles down the tree trunk and jumps onto the ground. The female, very quickly after, does the exact same thing. She also, you just see her very briefly perch there, and then she jumps down.
And immediately, on hitting the ground, yeah, they mate again.
And within 5 seconds of the female hitting the ground, yeah, they're mating again.
Yeah.
And then that's when we left them. That's when it was fully dark. We were just by ourselves, and we drove a grand total of 3 minutes back to the lodge. And you know, Ollie was saying, "This is amazing. I've never seen that happen before." He's seen leopards in baobabs before, but yeah, leopards mating in baobabs, maybe not. I don't know what to say. I really don't know what to say. This is our last day here. We've been at 5 different lodges now, 5 different camps. We've seen some incredible stuff, but this is really, I think you can't ask for anything else, and I wouldn't expect to ever see that again. Mm-hmm. And you know what? I almost hope that I don't, because that was to me the most perfect,
so special
thing.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I don't know what else there is to say. I think
it's just is that we've had a sensational time. It's been an amazing trip. We've had amazing sightings, and it just felt like such a gift that was just given to us, that like we were able to wrap our time up in the Delta, which has been this unbelievable environment to be in, with this sighting was just totally surreal.
Yeah.
Could not have ended on a more magical note.
I would say the lesson learned from both days, and especially today, was that having patience,
mm-hmm,
and even when it's very hot and an animal is doing nothing, if you're able to, and again, that's the absolute beauty of like
these camps
in the Delta, where you don't have many vehicles. I think today there were a grand total of 4 vehicles out.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, we were sharing the sighting with other vehicles, but we never had to leave. We could stay there and watch this animal.
We were with these animals for 4 hours.
Yeah, exactly. I guess the whole thing is have patience, because you will be rewarded. And especially in the case of a predator that will only really kind of get active as the temperatures drop, you want to be there when that happens.
Stick it out.
Because you will see something phenomenal. And
well, you'll see behavior.
Yeah.
You're not just getting a photo of an animal that's there. You will experience the animal's behavior, its interactions with its environment, with other animals. Like, that's what it's about. That's what you'll remember.
Oh, okay. Let's leave it at that.
Come to Botswana.
Yeah,
you
I hope.
You won't regret it.
Yeah, no. Come to Botswana. Go to Botswana anytime. And
anytime.
And come into this area, into the Okavango Delta, because it is really, truly magnificent.
Yep.
Thanks for listening, guys. To see some of the footage that we got of the sightings that we talk about in the podcast, head over to our Instagram at trunksandtracks, or read the blog on our website, trunksandtracks.com.